So, if we go the path of practice, we really do not need to understand a lot. We do not need to read a lot of books about the Lord Buddha, about his teaching, but we do need to understand certain terms. We need to understand, or we need to know, the Four Noble Truths, the truth of dukkha, the truth of the origin of dukkha, the truth that there is an end of dukkha, and the truth that leads, the path that leads to the end of dukkha. We need to understand karma. Karma is that, is the result of my actions that I do with thought or with speech or with the body. And the results of the action come or appear right now in the present. Whatever I have done in the past will come up and meet me right now. And whatever is going to happen in the future, this is what I'm determined through my actions right now. So everything is just centered in the present, in this very present moment. That's the reason why we need to be mindful, why we need to develop mindfulness of the present moment. Being the present moment of the breath coming in or the breath going out, being the present moment of the mental repetition of the word Buddha or Dhammo or Sangho, or being the object of investigation, being mindful, being aware of what is going on while we do the investigation, how the object is going to change, or how we can dissect or separate the object into its fundamental elements. So the Four Noble Truths we need to know and we need to understand. The more we understand, of course, the better. We need to understand the law of karma, that whatever we do will have results, will have effect in the future, and whatever we have done has its effect right now. We need to understand the three fundamental characteristics of this universe. And they are called anicca, anatta, dukkha. Whatever exists within this universe, within this conventional reality, is anicca, underlies the principle of anicca, anatta, dukkha. Anicca means impermanence, something that arises and ceases. Something that arises, changes, and ceases. This is the principle of anicca. Everything that we can observe arises, changes, and ceases. This is the principle of anicca. The principle of anatta is whatever we can observe, that arises and ceases, is not me, is not myself, does not belong to me. The Lord Buddha gives us the help. This is not me, that does not belong to me, this is not myself. If a feeling arises, this is not me, this does not belong to me, this is not myself. If the body arises, this is not me, this is not myself, that does not belong to me. And everything else. Sanya, like memory, and associations, like thought, and even consciousness. That all do not belong to us. This is the principle of anatta. They do not belong to us. They are not we they are not ourselves. We observe them arising and ceasing, so whatever we can observe, this cannot be us, because otherwise, who is the one who observes all these things? Just think about it very carefully. We have gathered, and that's what we call ourselves, that's what we call our personality. It's a mixture of all the things that we have gathered in the last millions or billions of lives, and we are not willing to give them up. And that's what we call ourselves. We call this body ourselves, we call Vedana feelings ourselves, because we do not say, there is sadness. No, we say, we are sad. We are in pain. We are this or we are that. We are a teacher, we are an engineer, we are a woman, we are a man. We are a man. So we identify with these objects that just come into our sight or that just come into our consciousness and tell them, because they are so close to us, that is me. But the principle of anatta teaches us whatever we can observe, whatever we can see, whatever we can experience, that this is not me, this is not myself, this does not belong to me. And the third principle is dukkha. Whatever we are attached to, and in this sense, being it attached in a positive sense or in a negative sense, attached in the positive sense means we want it. Attached in a negative sense, we don't want it, or we like it, or we dislike it. This introduces, or this induces dukkha. So the three principles of this universe, whatever exists within this universe, underlies these three principles. Anicca, anatta, dukkha. This we have to understand. The better we understand, the easier it is for us to live in this world. We can use these three principles, or we can use the law of karma to make things easier, to make the problems or the hindrances that arises during our practice, break them down much easier. The first thing when a problem arises, we call it, this is not me, this is not myself, this does not belong to me. Or we say, it has arisen, it will change, and it will cease. So we can use these three principles to relieve us of this heavy load of dukkha that comes with clinging, either positively clinging or negatively clinging to these phenomena that arise and cease. And of course we have to understand avicca. Avicca, the power that keeps us in this realm of rebirth. Avicca, just simply translated, not knowing, or not knowing correctly, wanting to know, but not knowing, wanting to understand, but not understanding correctly. This is the power of avicca. From avicca comes three roots, that is greed, hate, and delusion. Greed, hate, and delusion are things that govern us. They govern us by making us believe that we want this, or we like this, or we do not like this. That we are this, or that we are not like this. This is called greed, hate, and delusion. It uses avijja, or greed and hate and delusion, are using the five khandhas. And that is another thing that we have to understand. All our personality, everything that is within our realm of experience, is within these five khandhas. And the five khandhas are the body, that means rupa, and vedana is feeling, that can be bodily feeling or mental feeling. The third group is sanya, or memory and associations. The fourth group is sanya, now sankhara, that means thinking, short forms of thoughts, views, opinions. And the last group is vijnana, that means consciousness. So whatever we experience right now, in the moment, can be put into one of these groups. Either it was consciousness, or it was feeling, or it was memory, or it was a thought, or it was the body. That's all. That's all what they exist. The Lord Buddha teaches us that, O monks, this whole world is within this 6-foot-long body. That's where it is, and that's when we try, or when we start to practice, that's where we concentrate on. We do not concentrate on the world outside, but we concentrate on the world inside. In that, what we can experience right now. We can experience the body, we can experience feeling, we can experience memory and associations, we can experience thoughts, and we can experience consciousness. That's what we can experience. When we close our eyes, we can experience. When we open our eyes, we can experience it. And that's all what exists. So we don't need to look out. We don't need to look out on the world or on our country or on the village we are living in, or the town, or on our neighbors, or on our family. We just need to look at one point. That is these five khandhas. That's where all these things are created, through the power of greed, hate, and delusion, through the power of avijja. To understand avijja is very difficult. So we just hold it for the principle of not knowing, or incorrectly knowing, not understanding, or incorrectly understanding, wanting to know, or wanting to understand. So if you understand what I say right now at the moment, maybe then you get an idea that the path of practice is not trying to grasp the idea of what is going on, but to experience, to actually see what is going on. This is a difference. If we open our eyes and we see something running, we conclude this is this or this is that. But this is wrong conclusion or incorrect conclusion or incorrect knowing. When we read a book, then we infer this or infer that. But this is incorrect knowing or incorrect conclusion. So, the path of practice is not knowing, or is not understanding with our brains, is not inference from our knowledge, is nothing like this. The wisdom that we are going to develop on the path of practice comes through the experience, comes through the seeing of how things are happening. And we have to see how things are happening over and over again. If we see it for 10 times, or if we see it for 100 times, the mind immediately makes up a conclusion of what is happening. But this conclusion is still incorrect. This conclusion has nothing to do with reality. However close it comes to reality, still it is not reality. But the experience itself is that what we experience. We do not need to put any labels or words on this experience. When we experience something unpleasant, we know that there is something unpleasant. However we call it, with whatever words we call it, it is still unpleasant. If we experience something that is pleasant, we do not need to put a label on it what kind of pleasantness it is. We just know that this is pleasant, this is little pleasant, or this is very pleasant, or this intermediate pleasant. We just know the experience of this pleasantness. And this experience is that what is needed for developing wisdom. This we have to understand. The more we read, the more knowledge we have. But this knowledge has nothing to do with the truth. We have to see this, or we have to understand it. Whatever we do in our practice, it is not necessary to make any conclusions about what is what and what just happens right now. If something happened right now, we know it. We are the ones who have experienced it. But because we have not had enough mindfulness to see the whole process as one, to see the whole process in all its steps, in all its moments, that's why we don't understand. And out of the fragments of our mindfulness that constantly lapses, the fragments that we are actually mindful of, we conclude that this is like this, or this is like that. It is like a physicist watches an experiment where he needs absolute attention. If he loses one point or one moment of mindfulness, the thing that he wanted to experience might have already happened. So he has to start over with this experiment again. Just let us remember. The experience takes place in the heart, or the experience takes place in the citta. That's the citta knows everything about. And we have to train. On the path of wisdom, we have to train the citta to experience this to the fullest degree. To experience it over and over again. Until the citta itself understands. If the citta understands that the fire is hot because it grabbed in the fire and burned its hand, then it will not do it again. But as long as the citta assumes that the fire is hot, it will still play with the fire. As long as we do not know what we are doing and what are the causes or what are the effects of our doing on our own citta, we will do them over and over and over again. But the moment we investigate what are the results of my actions, what are the results of my own speaking, and what are the results of my own thinking, and the results always take place in the heart. The results always take place in the citta. And that's why we have to be out in the citta all the time to experience what is actually going on. Not to be out in the world, not to be out in our senses, but be completely resting within our citta to really understand. To really understand the effects of our own action, to really understand the effects of our own speech, or to really understand the effects of our thinking. Because the effects immediately take place within our own citta. That if a thought of fear comes up, then the effect is immediate. It has an immediate effect on the heart. So, now I lost my So everything takes place in the citta. And that's where we have to stay. And that's why we train our mindfulness. And that's why mindfulness is so important. It's so important that the Lord Buddha teaches us that person who has mindfulness for 7 days and 7 nights can reach enlightenment within this 7 days and after these 7 days or seven nights. That's how important mindfulness is. Mindfulness to catch every moment that takes place. Every moment to be aware of every moment within our heart. What is going on? If we understand what really is going on, we cannot be fooled anymore. Once the heart understands, the heart lets go. If we understand something that this with our brain, that this is incorrect or not pleasant or not wholesome, that doesn't mean that we don't do it again. But we can force ourselves to be aware of this and train ourselves not to do it again. But once the heart understands that something is really burning itself, or that it is burning up itself, then it will let go, and it is not interested anymore in doing this thing. So the understanding of the heart, or the wisdom that we develop with our practice, is the wisdom to experience, the wisdom to see things in line with the truth. And that will relieve us, of our dukkha, and this will lead us to freedom. The freedom from dukkha, the freedom from all these things. The freedom from fear, the freedom from feeling alone, the freedom from worries or anything else. But we have to understand it, and please take this to heart. We have to understand it within our heart. It's not so important to understand it with our brains. And that's what we are trained to do. So we have to untrain ourselves and to develop a new kind of training. And this is called the training of the heart. The training of the heart to experience the things. To experience what does it mean pleasantness. To experience all forms of pleasantness without giving it a label. To experience all forms of unpleasantness without giving it a label. To experience how pleasantness or unpleasantness comes into. To experience how the senses, how some phenomena contact our senses. And what is going to happen? This takes place in a very, very short amount of time. And normally we do not catch all the processes that are involved. But if we develop our mindfulness to the fullest, then we can catch it, and then our heart will understand. If our mind understands it before, this is not important. If our mind tells us, yes, I understood it, you know, this will not help. The only understanding that will help and will relieve us of our dukkha is the understanding that takes place within our own citta. So don't go for explanations, don't go for inference, don't go for conclusions. Just go for the experience that takes place right now in our heart. And with this, I end this talk. I really got disrupted.